Welcome to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. Don't forget, DraftKings is your home for all the action across the NBA and gets you closer to the game we all love. The crown is yours. Now, coming up on today's episode, we will have one of John's favorite Wizards teammates ever, the Polish Hammer. Ladies and gentlemen, Marcin Gortat is going to be joining us here on Point Game. But first, we got to talk to John here about the playoffs. John, how you feeling, man?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Happy to be back for another episode. Playoffs are being fire, man. A lot of good basketball, man. I've been locked in.
Man, I feel like some of the series are you know, getting heated, and some of them were solved pretty quickly. I'm talking about the Suns Timberwolves. Last night, the Suns got swept by the Minnesota Timberwolves. I just want to ask you, what are some of your first reactions from that series? And jumping ahead, do you think the Timberwolves potentially, who will potentially play the Nuggets, do you think they will do the same thing against them?
No, I think it'd be a heck of a series. To be honest, I thought this was going to be a great series. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I didn't think it was going to be a sweep at all. Shout out to Tim Woods and their coach, and hope he has a speedy recovery and a successful surgery.
That was wild.
But like, it goes back to like, beating a team so many times in the regular season doesn't mean anything. You know what I mean? Denver lost. I mean, Phoenix beat Minnesota. Phoenix beat Minnesota 3 times, 3-0. Don't matter. You know what I mean? You make those adjustments. You save your game plans, whatever you have for your team going into the playoffs. And I felt like they was more hungry. They, like, they wanted it. You know what I mean? Like, that third quarter, every game, it was close. Like, Phoenix had leads. They was in the game. But that third quarter, Minnesota just went to another level. And shout out to Ant-Man, man. Shout out to their whole team, but shout out to Ant-Man, man. He's very special. Like I said before, he brings that old school dog and mentality into the new school, how it is, competing at a high level on both ends of the floor. And he has that killer instinct, man. You know what I mean? He only had 9 points in the first half, shooting the ball bad. And, you know, he came out in the second half, had 31 big points. You know what I mean? So to have 40 on the closeout game, I did that before, so I know that felt special.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see a lot more Timberwolves in these playoffs. But I did want to talk about, because a lot of people are surprised by the Suns not even be able to get one game. And, you know, they have a lot on their roster, right? And you can't just trade these guys immediately. I think what I'm seeing, you know, reports of potentially Vogel being on the out. So what do you think the Suns should do in the offseason?
It's tough, man, because you want to – you got so much money tied into your three main guys, and then don't also forget Grace Allen just got paid $4 years, $70 million. So it's like, you got to find a lot of guys that's willing to take the vet minimal to mid-level. You know what I mean? Hopefully those guys come in and play a role and give those guys what they really need to help them get over the hump. I mean, we all know how Brad, KD, and D-Book are three great scorers, man, that can score at a high level.
Yeah.
For me, I always said it. I mean, and not just because I'm a point guard, but I feel like they needed a point guard to kind of control their system and run it the way they want to be run. Brad and D. Booker, hell of a guards that can create and make plays for others. But 9 times 10, you put them in pick and roll, they're trying to be aggressive, trying to be a scorer, you know what I mean? And trying to facilitate and be a scorer that's not. They can do it. I mean, that's how special and great they are, but their main goal is to go get buckets.
Yeah.
And I feel like they could have did a lot of more isos in the mid-post with KD instead of trying to run them off a lot of pick and rolls. Just let him attack Cat one-on-one. And, you mean, you got enough shooters out there, but they start double teaming, you rotate the basketball and try to knock down shots. But I just think you got to just find some great glue guys that fit with them that's going to be willing to take less money because they don't have opportunity to pay nobody no really real money, to be honest, to complete their team.
Yeah, real quickly, you know, with Vogel, do you think the coaching change could help, or do you try to run it back with Vogel again?
I really don't know. You know what I mean? I've played against Coach Vogel when he was with the Pacers. And then –
yeah.
And, you know what I mean? He was with the Lakers. So I really don't know. It's kind of hard to say because, you know what I mean, D. Booker's out of lineup a lot. Brad's out of lineup a lot.
Right.
You made adjustments for trades. So, you know what I mean, trying to never find that camaraderie and try to figure all that out, I think it was kind of tough for them. But at the same time, people might look at it as like, well, what adjustment did they make in the playoffs? How do you get swept with a team like that? So I feel like they might – I'm like, it's going to be hard to try to move one of those guys. You know what I mean? Like, D. Booker's the franchise. He's been there long. You're not going to get rid of him. It was like KD came there. You don't want to get rid of a guy like KD. He makes it everybody's complete. Whoever he go to is a contender right away.
Yeah.
And then you feel Brad in there too. It's like, okay, we just traded for him. Is anybody willing to try to take that big on contract on? You know what I mean? Like, somebody might not want to do that. And then he want to get back to being healthy. You know what I mean? Being up and down all year. I know that kind of was frustrating for him. You look at him last night being in foul trouble, not really finding the rhythm. That kind of was frustrating for him because, you know what I mean, those big games, he wants to play well in those moments like anybody does. You want to live up to that moment. So I feel like the next step is kind of maybe fire the coach and see who else can you get and try to run it back like that. But if you have another season like that, somebody definitely has to go.
Yeah, fortunately. Okay, moving on to another series, exciting series. The Mavs and Clippers tied up 2-2. Yeah. What are you thinking there? Harden is having one of the best series I think we've seen him. And Kawhi's been out a couple of times. So who do you think is coming out of this series between the Mavs and Clippers tied at 2-2?
Well, I still got the Mavs coming out of it, but I think they just I think it's just different, man. You know what I mean? Because when Kawhi's there, even though he wasn't healthy, Kawhi, he's a hell of a player, man. You know how special he is, like one of the best players in the league when he's fully healthy, top five. But you could just tell something wasn't right about him, and it kind of staggered their offense. Because you watched the first game, there was a lot of pace, a lot of ISO between Paul George and James taking their turns. You know what I mean? Those other guys getting open shots. So when he came back game two, their pace kind of slowed down with Kawhi, and he needed a lot of his ISOs. And then I think game three was the same way. And, you know, I mean, yesterday they went right back to James PG. Yeah. Just a lot of pick and rolls, a lot of ISOs. And like James said, man, there's a lot of fucking great talent out there. A lot of elite footwork, a lot of great scoring, man, because they was bucket for bucket, bucket for bucket, bucket for bucket. And I think the biggest thing for both teams is they stars can't get in foul trouble. Like, you've seen in the games when PG's in foul trouble, he can't find the rhythm, it's hurting him. And you've seen last game, Luka was playing okay defense throughout the whole playoff so far. And then last, what, 3 minutes, 2 minutes of game, James just attacked him. He was barely playing any defense because he had five fouls. He didn't want to get fouled out, you know what I mean? So I think that kind of hurt him. But it's a mismatch game, you know what I mean? Jason Kidd got to make adjustments. T. Lou, like I said before, he's a hell of a coach that make those adjustments and pick people's brains. So I think it's a hell of a series, you know what I mean? I know the Clippers are happy they got home court back, and then they get opportunity to go up 3-2. And then – go close it out in Dallas. And if not, Dallas get a chance to go up 3-2 and have opportunity to close it off on their home court.
Yeah. Do you think we were just talking about the Suns with, you know, having three big stars on there, and then we're seeing with the Clippers, like, they're having some success with Kawhi. He's been out twice this series. Do you think that this kind of gives, I don't know, some insight going to the offseason that maybe you only need a couple of stars and you just really fill out the rest of the roster with some solid role players?
I was just having this conversation. I was like, for me, I know a lot of people have a lot of three stars, but I feel like your third star, like one of your stars cannot be ball dominant. You know what I mean? Yeah. Or don't need the ball as much. You know what I mean? Because I think if they all three need the ball, it's kind of like not enough shots out there. You know what I mean? But if you got a guy, your third guy could be like a guy that can go get 20 on catch and shoot or one dribble pull-ups or something like that. Well, I think that helps a lot more. Because look at Phoenix, you know what I mean? Like, Brad's looking at getting 20, 22 shots a game. D Book's looking at getting 22 shots a game. Now you have KD that's getting 20 to 25 shots a game. So now you're taking away probably another 8 shots from KD or another 8 shots from D Book. You know what I mean? Or another 8 shots from Brad. So, like, they can't be the prolific scorer that they used to be in. So I think that third guy got to be a guy that's not a ball dominant and like a hell of a scorer. He can score the ball, but not at a high clip like the main two guys. That's just my opinion.
Yeah. No, we talked about role players a lot on this. You know, it seems like everyone's always trying to figure out those first big three, and then they kind of, you know, just put together whoever is available with that. But we're watching the Nuggets dominate. We're watching, I guess, with the Timberwolves, you know, they've had Gobert, and like that was like questionable last year, but they figured it out. And a lot of the role players, you know, McDaniels and Alexander, like the role players is important. Naz Reid, obviously. So I think the emphasis needs to get on the role players for some of these teams to start competing next year.
Yeah, but I only think it was tough for Minnesota last year because a lot of people forget they didn't have Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels in the playoffs last year.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there was a lot more pressure on Rudy Gobert to do a lot more, on a lot of other guys to do a lot more. Now you've seen when they had a complete team going to the playoffs, they got what they want, you know what I mean? So, because, like, they have two stars. Yeah. You have Ant-Man, you have Cat. You know what I mean? Rudy Gobert is their third guy, but he's a defensive guy, lob threat for them. He's not a guy that needs the ball to dominate or to impact the game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jaden McDaniels don't need the ball to impact the game. He's a slasher, knockdown threes, defender. Mike Conley's a great, solid point guard. One of the most underrated point guards to me, I thought, throughout my career playing in the league. He can shoot the ball. He has floaters with both hands. He don't turn the ball over. He can assist. So they already got their two stars. So like you just basically said, you have two stars that's dominant. Their third star can impact the game in so many other ways. And I think that's the route you're going. Like you said with Denver, you have Mary, you have Jokic, two stars. Mm-hmm. Michael Porter or Aaron Gordon, either way you want to go, is a third guy, but they don't need the ball.
Yeah.
Aaron Gordon's a dunker, slasher. Yeah, Michael Porter, slasher, shoot threes. You know what I mean? Caldwell Pope, hell of a defender, knock down open shots. So I think more so if you go to a two star dominant lineup, but your third star is a great role player and can do what he do in his role, he'd be fine.
Yeah. Okay. I want to go over to the East, but a couple of those series are sort of lopsided now and decided. And it brought up this interesting question with Jalen Brunson. He's playing out of his mind for the Knicks right now. And Team USA had gotten announced about a week ago. So asking you right now, after what you've seen with the Knicks, do you think, you know, Brunson deserved Team USA over Halliburton? Or, you know, do you think Brunson was snubbed from Team USA after what he's been doing?
I don't think they really base it off how you do it in the regular season. I mean, like, you know what I mean? Jalen Brunson's having a hell of a year. You know what I mean? Crafty, tough guard, make big shots. I'm not scared of no situations. But it's like the way he's playing, it's a lot of ISOs, a lot of dribbling, a lot of him getting to his spots. That's not how USA basketball is played. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know how that would translate. Don't get me wrong. He probably could make the transition. I'm not saying he can't. With his team, he's doing what they need him to do, and that's to be a great scorer and run the show. But I feel like the guy that got snubbed out of anybody is Kyrie Irving. Like, that's without a doubt. Like, we seen him when he went to the World Cup a couple years ago?
Yeah.
Like, we seen what he did leading that team there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I feel like that's the most guy that got snubbed more than anybody. But Jalen Brunson's having a hell of a year for sure. Definitely in the top five conversation. And he's breaking more and more records. I think he just broke the record for the most points in as a Knick player in the playoffs. And then he has the most, 30 and 10 games or 40 and 10 games, whatever it is. So he's having a big time year.
Okay,
and I think the biggest thing for them next year might be is do we keep Julius Randle or what do we do? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's a situation they might have to decide on, because Josh Hart has to be on that floor. OG Anunoby has to be on the floor. You know what I mean? DiVincenzo has been great for them. So you never want to just say what you do with a team just because somebody's out. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean? Sometimes teams play better. But Julius Randle's a hell of a player when he's out there playing. He's an all-star type of player, all-NBA player. So that's something you have to figure out and try to balance. But, I mean, some of these front offices are doing a hell of a job, and they know how to control those situations.
Yeah. All this is just leading up to an interesting offseason. All right. When we come back here on Point Game, we're going to be welcomed by one of John's former teammates, Marcin Gortat, will be here on Point Game. Welcome back to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. We are now joined by John's former teammate, the man who played 387 games with him, the Polish Hammer, Marcin Gortat. Marcin, how you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Thanks for joining us. Where are you joining us from right now?
I'm in Poland right now. I'm in my city, Łódź, right on the middle of Poland. Actually, with the better weather than I expected, we supposed to, a couple days ago, we almost had snow, but finally we got some sun now. And yeah, I'm actually working out hard.
Yeah, we were talking about it a little bit. I don't know how much you want to talk about that, but what are you up to these days right now?
So I'm going to try to do a military challenge soon. In a couple months, I'm going to, try to go through a special forces training and try to, gain the respect, earn the respect that I would like to have. And as a 40 years old guy right now, it's not easy. I got to do a lot of crazy stuff, bunch of pull-ups, bunch of, abs, crunches, push-ups. And I got to be able to run 3 kilometers in 12 minutes, which is pretty intense. It's pretty fast. I got to swim under the water. I got to sprint 100 meters in a certain time. Yeah, it's pretty insane. But listen, I love it. I enjoy doing it. I also finish the training for the military medic. I'm certified military medic now. So, yeah, I can do some stuff now with the needles and stuff.
Congratulations. That's what's up. Yeah. My brother, thank you for joining us all the way from Poland. I know you're a people champion, your country. I just want to know how, like, retirement life is treating you, like, not playing basketball no more than in retirement life.
You know what? It's been weird, I would say. The first year was kind of tough. I completely stopped doing workouts. I completely stopped, literally stopped. For the first time, I lost my six pack, and that was the time I was like, okay, listen, this is getting serious. My actually chest was smaller than my stomach, and I was like, this is impossible. I said, we can't do that. I probably gained about 15 to 18 pounds a couple months after I finished playing basketball. And I remember the words, the quote John mentioned a couple times. I think it was one or two times I heard that quote in the interview. He mentioned that certain players not supposed to finish like that in this league. And I felt that, you know, I really felt that I'm going to finish the season with the Clippers all the way to the end. Like, I'm going to finish the season at least in the first round of playoffs. And then after the season, I'm going to go and say, hey, guys, appreciate you. Thank you for everything. This was my fifth last year of the contract. You know what? I think I'm done. And appreciate you, you know, for the opportunity. But no, I didn't end up like that, you know, just I literally had a phone call on the middle of the season. If I'm not mistaken, it was February 4th. All of a sudden you're getting phone call and, you know, you got this message, hey, appreciate you for your, you know, for your service. But unfortunately we traded a couple guys to Memphis and we traded Ivory Bradley to Memphis. We're getting two guys back and we need one more spot in the team. And because you're the oldest one in the team, we have to waive you. So I was like, what the hell? Yeah. Like, really? I said, this is how I'm going to end up in this league? I'm like, God damn. I was like, all right. I'm like, I guess it is what it is. So, yeah. So it was a lot of frustration. I would say, as soon, you know, right after I was waived, there was a lot of frustration. I didn't want to really do anything for the whole year. But like I said, year after my retirement, I started working out. And like I said, I've been doing a lot of military training and I'm enjoying it. I'm doing stuff that I like to do. I joined Washington for 1 year as assistant coach. And again, that's not something I think I want to do on a daily basis. Yeah. It's tough, man. Like, and again, like I'm not trying to sugarcoat anybody, but like, you know, John, Brett, me, you know, Trevor Ariza, we had a bunch of vets in the team and you didn't have to tell anybody to work out. Like, you didn't have to tell anybody to go to the gym and work out, but half of the guys that we were training, they didn't want to work out. You know, it was like, and I'm the coach who's supposed to push them. I'm like, this is crazy. I didn't have a coach. I had none of the coaches in my career had to push me to work out. Like, this is insane. So, yeah, after 1 year, I decided that I think I want to do different things.
Yeah. Martin, I think I've heard that. Do you think it's the generation of hoopers right now, like, who got in the league that the mentality is different? Like, why do you think that is? Or is it team specific that you have these players who don't know almost the common sense activities you got to be doing to be successful in the league?
Well, I think we are missing a lot of vets. I think every team's supposed to have more vets. You know, that's one. Two, I think there's a lot of generations of new coaches and new general managers that are coming into the league, and they allowing the new young players to do just from the, like, right off the gate. As soon as they show up in the team, they allowing them to do a lot of things, and they should earn it first. That's one. Two, you know, if you want to build the culture in the team, I mean, you got to act a certain way, you know, you can do different. I mean, again, like, I'm going to give example of, you know, Anthony Edwards recently in the playoff game. I mean, I understand he's a beast. I completely do. I mean, he's unbelievable. But the you know, the sign thing that he did, like, come on, man. I mean, if guy like that is doing a move like that, what do you think is going to happen with the new kids coming into this league? Yeah, you know, I mean, as crazy I was, or as crazy John was, he never done that, you know. And we had enough freaking brain in our head that we will never do stuff like that, you know. We were first to flex. I promise you.
Yeah,
that.
I remember. And,
for sure.
Yeah, we will definitely flex. But come on, man, you can't, you know, if you're allowing a guy do stuff like that, I mean, what do you expect then? You know,
yeah, like you said, I pick up what you said. I think just now it's like it's a lot different. I always say this, and I never take away from these young guys because they're super talented. You know what I mean? It's just so much different from the game. I felt like even if you didn't want to play no more after that, I think you should have finished the year off, you know what I mean? Or you should have got one more chance at it. But it's like they just started to span the league so much. If you're not shooting threes or have a great back-to-the-basket game, they don't want you in the league no more. Like, I remember when Roy Hibbert got traded from Indiana and went to the Lakers. I'm like, he just won Defensive Player of the Year. He played like 1 or 2 years, he was out of it. So the league is changing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, you have literally right now, I mean, center position basically in NBA doesn't exist. Yeah. You have three freaking centers. You have three, four. So you have Jokic, Embiid, Towns, and
AD.
Towns is a four. So you really,
AD, you really gotta go
Sabonis or Vucevic. That's it. Towns playing the four, so
you know. But John, you know, Vucevic is like 40 years old. He's about to be done soon. You know, so you got literally like three dudes in the league, and the rest of them is just filling out the spot of the center You know, like these dudes don't exist in the team. They are not even. They don't even know how to freaking set a screen, dog. Yeah. I mean, You don't have what we had back in the day. I mean, Jesus Christ, it was me and Nana. And then you got to go one night, you got to go Joakim Noah, Carlos Boozer. Then next night you go, you know, Zach Randolph, Mark Gasol. You know, then you have all of a sudden Lakers coming in with Paul Gasol and another big. Like you had teams that had two good big mans, you know. Now, it's a guards league right now. Yeah. Definitely guards league.
So you recently said in the following interview about our team, we had so many weapons. Brad, me, you on the pick and roll, and Nate on the inside. You guys let me and Brad run the show. I want you to expand on that a lot more. Like, just talk about that time we had.
Oh, man. I'm thinking about that, you know, every couple weeks, every couple months, every time when I'm watching NBA, I'm thinking about us. Man, I think we had a special team. I think we really had a good special team. We were just so freaking unlucky, man. I swear to God, we were just so freaking unlucky. Yeah, the one year, if you won't break your hands into a freaking 10 freaking pieces, we would be in the NBA finals. I swear to God, we had everything that we needed to be in NBA. Obviously, in the NBA finals, then you got to play the best basketball of your life. But again, you know, your hand 1 year. Second year, I think we maybe were missing extra, you know, extra role player off the bench, coming off the bench, maybe extra additional player off the bench. You know, overall, maybe we could just play this one, each one of us in the starting lineup. If we could just maybe 1 or 2% play better, we also would, you know, get this extra win maybe, you know. But the bottom line is we had a great team. We had a great team, and it's crazy. I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but you know, me, John, Brett, we talk about this in the off seasons, and we always wanted, like, hey, bring somebody on the board that's going to help us to win, you know. And I mean, then all of a sudden you're gaining, I mean, Drew Nicholson, and then you know, Chris Humphries. I mean, I love these boys, don't understand me wrong, I love them, but come on, man. These guys are not going to take us to the NBA championship, you know? And then we brought Paul Pierce. I think that was a great move. I wish we could have maybe another year with him. But then obviously he went to LA. So we did have a great team. You know, injuries were the one, you know, problem. And then I will say also, you know, with, as crazy as it sounds, you know, there was a time I couldn't stand Whit. I mean, Whit was driving me nuts. he was driving John probably nuts, even twice or three times even more than me. But he was a great coach.
Yeah.
He was really good coach, man. He was really, really good coach, and he knew what to do with us, how to get us ready for the game, and how to get us ready for playoffs. If we could take that pressure from him, where basically he was sitting constantly on a hot seat, like everybody were mentioning, like, oh, dude, you're going to be fired. So if we could take that pressure off him and let him work and give him maybe another year, Oh man, I don't know. Maybe we would be in the NBA Finals. Who knows?
Yeah, I miss it. Shout out Coach Randy Whitman, man. Yeah, I just was like you said. Every time, like every year, no matter what we did, like we might start off bad. We have a team meeting, figure it out. But it's like he was always on the hot seat. Like no matter how good we was doing, if we won 10 in a row, whatever. It's like, well, Randy Whitman, you might get fired after this game, or you might get fired after that. And it's like you try to take the pressure off him as much as possible, but it's like it's still tough because it's in the back of your mind. How can I advance my team, and how can I really coach my team the way I want?
Right.
But I have to be dealing with this all the time. So,
yeah, he was.
Yeah, we
he
had was fun, though. Getting... We had a lot of fun, though. We had a lot of fun.
I mean, John, I mean, think about it. We were in the plane, and we didn't even care who we're going to play next because they had to worry about us. Like, they had to worry about us. Like, we obviously, we were getting ready for big games, you know, either Boston or, you know, back then Chicago. Yeah, we were getting ready for them. But, like, for most of the games, they had to worry about us, mm-hmm. man. Like, we were sitting in the plane and, like, okay, how, what are we, like, 10 plus 10 wins in a row? Okay, cool. You know, we lost one. All right, we're going to get another 10 now, you know. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we were very good. Well-oiled machine, you know. We were.
I just think we
really
were so well balanced. You know, what I mean, having you and Nene down there, then having Trev or having Paul, and then me and Brad. I think we just had a well, great balanced team. You know, what I mean. And one thing I said about it, like we had camaraderie, we had fun. Like a lot of teams don't do that. Like they don't hang out together. They didn't do stuff together. And you could tell which teams do because if they do, they always click. When you go on the court, like even if we got off to a sluggish start, we knew what to do to turn up. We knew what play to go to. It was just all about making shots and missing shots. So competing on a high level for us, that was it.
And, you know, just playing together for so long, we really develop incredible chemistry, you know. I mean, obviously the screens that we came up with.
You see LeBron talked about it. Him
and JJ
Redick
was
talking about it.
You know what? I mentioned, obviously, right after he said that, I had like 20 phone calls from Polish media. I was like, aren't you excited? LeBron James spoke about you. I was like, listen, man, I hope he was speaking about me like that when I was setting screens on him. Because last time I remember, he was crying, you know, crying to the ref that I was setting, you know, moving screens. You know,
everybody's mad but, about that screen.
Right. But listen, you know, that you got to play together, you know, 100, 200, 250 games in order to develop that chemistry, you know. And I remember exactly when we came up with that move. It was New York. I remember exactly. I told John, I said, John, just look what I'm going to do. Come off my back. You're going to see. I'm going to set a screen on my guy. And John was just reading. And again, later on, I'm going to LA and I'm saying, hey, Shay, did you see what I was doing with John? Yeah, unbelievable. I'm like, all right, Shay, you think you can do the same thing? He's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Man, listen, I've been doing this thing for like 5 months, man. This guy couldn't do it even one time, man. Not even one time. I said, listen, man. I said, it looks like you have the frame. I mean, you don't have John's frame, but, you know, John could post up people and defend centers on the post, but, you know, I mean, you still have big body, Shay. You should be able to do that. But, nah, he wasn't. Yeah. Nah, not even close.
That's how I was telling somebody before. It was like even when we was running pick and roll or I would drive or in transition, I knew every move you was doing. He's sealing in transition, throw the ball over top. If I'm driving, I might throw a shovel pass. Like I told him, you might not have been the most athletic guy, but you had the best finishes.
You had
all the finishes like a guard. Dude. I'm talking about reverse this, reverse that.
Right.
So it was easy for me. I was getting 6 to 7 assists a game. I was cool.
Easily, right?
I wasn't tripping.
Right. And everybody was saying, you know, I remember when people were like, oh, can you dunk the ball? I said, listen, I don't have to dunk the ball. I mean, of course, if there's going to be opportunity, I will. But listen, every bucket is 2 points.
Sometimes when you got mad or it was a big play, you had the Polish Hammer come out like Atlanta series.
Oh, of course. Hell yeah. But I mean, come on,
hey,
man.
Serious?
I mean,
you seriously. The Polish
Yeah. We had. Yeah. It's like I said, it's unbelievable time in Washington, and just being in the city. We had a good crowd. It was a late crowd, I would say. Yeah, every time they were coming, end of the first quarter, they're showing up at the arena. I was like, come on, man, we're already balling here. Come on, it's already plus 20 for us, man. Where you at, you know? But yeah, we had a good crowd. We had a lot of good fans and great city. I mean, what else do you need, you know? What else do you need in NBA? I mean, you have a great, you know, great team. Good city, good crowd. I mean, shit, you just got a ball and bring the results, you know?
Marchand, you brought up, playing with SGA. You know, you played with him earlier in his career, but, like, you went from Steve Nash to John. I wanted to talk about that transition. Was there anything that you sort of, like, learned or, like, you know, interacted with Steve and you're like, hey, John, I was doing this with Steve. Like, did you take anything from that Suns time to John with the Wizards?
Well, let's be honest. I came to Suns when I was kind of on a raise.
Yeah.
I was kind of like getting the first minutes as a starter. So that was the first time I was actually playing the starter minutes. And playing with Steve was great. But I think the best me was with John. And the best me was when we are winning 52, 55 games a season.
Yeah.
That's bottom line, you know. Steve was playing on one pace. I mean, don't understand me wrong. He's a great player, but Steve was playing on one pace. John had like three different paces, you know. I mean, when there was the slow pace, fast pace, and it was John pace, and nobody can catch John. You know, when he take off in the break, I'm like, all right, fuck it, I'm just gonna stay, I'm not gonna even run, because there's no need to run, you know. And then obviously, you know, it was great to see Steve giving those crazy passes, half court passes, and all kind of different passes. But, you know, seeing John in the full speed, seeing John dunking on people. And one thing I told John that one thing I haven't seen with Steve was he had to compete against Russell Westbrook in his prime, Kyrie in his prime, Derrick Rose in his prime. I mean, you literally had every second game, you had a top point guard, Chris Paul, in his prime. Mm-hmm. You had a top point guard coming into the building and bowling, right, and Steph, right, coming into the building and bowling, and John had to guard him. You know, I had every fifth, sixth game, I had a big man that I had to guard, you know, and, you know, DeMarcus was coming in. Oh, Jesus freaking Christ. I mean, DeMarcus, you know. The first minute he wants to kick my ass and he wants to beat me up. I was like, cuz, come on, man. Like, cuz, I'm not afraid of you, man. Like, I've been in this league longer than you. Come on, don't threaten me. Like, I'm not afraid, you know. Let's just play basketball. And then he will kick my ass in the basketball. So, you know, I had every five, six games, I had a tough opponent to defend. But John had every second game. And I told him that, I think it was after Chicago game, where I was like, John, I admire what you're doing, because there was, I mean, basically, he gave everything he had. And I was a witness of that. Defending D-Rose and then going offense, playing offense. Come on, man. This is insane, man.
That's what I was saying. I'm glad you spoke on that, Gorzal, because I was saying that before, and I don't take nothing away from these guys, but I'm like, it was no duck and no smoke, bro. Like, I couldn't go guard the small forward. I couldn't go guard the power forward, the shooting guard. Like, this is my matchup. But I also had to be the guy to run my team, make sure everybody's getting their shots when they need it. Be a scorer when they needed me to. So, and I always asked Gortat when he first got there, I'm like, bro, what you learn from Steve Nash? Like, I need something. Like, because I never played with a big that knew how to run pick and roll the way he did. So, like I said, once I got to that point and got learning to knocking down mid-range jump shot, everything became easy, because I can make every pass to Gortat. I had Otto on the wing, Brad on the wing. I had Nene been a bruiser for it. So it was so perfect. But, bro, I mean, remember we was in D.C.? And I'm chasing Steph around. I'm like, God damn. Like, bro, I'm about to be tired, because I was mad because the night before he went 0 for 8 from 3 against the Knicks. And I said, why do you have to do this? Because you know when he come in the next game, he's not missing. He's going to be on fire.
John, they will not understand that unless they're going to guard a guy and they're going to put the hand in his literally face and he's still making swishes, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I'm tired of this.
I was standing right next to you and you were turning around like, dude, what the fuck you want me to do? I'm sorry.
What else do you want me to do?
What else do you want me to do? I mean, Jesus Christ, man. Like, we can build a freaking building right in front of this guy and this guy's going to shoot over the building, you know? I mean, there was just, yeah, it was just almost impossible. I mean, you know, Steph is obviously different than Derrick Rose, you know? I mean, on Derrick Rose, you just got to take a step back. Unless you are John, then you can be close to him because you can catch him. But, you know, on Ross, the same thing, you know? You take step back. You rather let him, you let him shoot than, you know, allow him to take off and just go hard to the rim, you know? Because obviously he's going to jump over you. But with Steph, Jesus Christ. I mean, this is just, yeah, insane.
So I go back to 2014 game five, we playing the Pacers. It's win or go home. We both dominated. We won by 23. Like, discuss that game because I want to hear your mindset and then I'm going to tell you my mindset afterwards. But that was a big game for us because, like, I was struggling in that series and I feel like we could have did so much more. But, like, that's what you said early on. It's like we just needed to play a little percent better and we could have won those series. And I think that was our first time in the playoffs, my first time. So it was me trying to learn and how to manage the game the right way.
So I'm assuming that the coach also came to you and Al Harrington came to you also before the game, before the shoot-around, and he was talking to you. Mm-hmm. So Al came to me and he said, "Hey man, we need you." I was like, "I'm here. Like I didn't leave anywhere. I didn't go anywhere. Like, what do you mean you need me?" I said, "I swear to God, this is what I said. Al, I mean, please just look at the game one, game two, because seriously, I had maybe in the whole game, I had like maybe 5 to 7 touches, which, you know, at that time for me was kind of like very low." Mm-hmm. And I'm not talking about just post up. I'm basically talking all the shots during the game. I usually average between like 10, 11 shots, couple of fancy free bounds, couple putbacks, couple, you know, garbage balls around. But I had about 11, 12 shots. And I was averaging like 5, 6 shots in those two games. I was like, "Al, seriously, I mean, just pass me the ball. Just try to give me the ball. Let me try to do something, okay? And then if I go 0-for-10, then yeah, you can tell me, hey, where are you? We need you, okay? But right now, you can't tell me we need you if you're giving me 5 shots a game." So Al told me like, yeah, I spoke with Witt. You're going to get the first play of the game. It's going to go to you. And boom. And I remember John, I'm thinking John had the same conversation with Al and probably with Witt. I know John was, you were pissed. You were quiet. Mm-hmm. You were quiet, but it wasn't the quiet because you were mad at me or Brad or anybody mm-hmm. in the team. You were just mad. Just and you myself. Were mad like overall. Yeah. In yourself. But I was the same with me. Yeah. Like we were just mad in the situation there we are in, and then shit, that was the night, man.
Yeah, I feel like
we went off.
I'm like, fuck, bro, I cannot make a mid-range jump shot or floater for nothing in my life in this series. I'm so mad. And then I was also mad because we should have won game two. We should have went up 2-0, but we took a bad three in transition with 1:30 to go. And I remember we was up 3 and I was like, okay, this is how you learn like time management, slow the pace down. So that game was bothering me when I watched it. Then I'm like, bro, I'm missing so many easy floater mid-ranges. And then it's like, all right, usually we try to get you the first 1 or 2 possessions of the game. I'm like, all right, we need Gortat to screen. We need Gortat to be ready to play. We got to give him 1 or 2 touches because outside that, you didn't have no plays ran for you. Yours was all pick and rolls. You get a seal in transition or you get offensive rebound. So I go into my mode where I'm not mad at nobody because nobody's fault but me. I'm playing like shit. I'm like, this is some bullshit. So I called my mom. I talked to her. She was like, "Are you going to play today or are you just going to be out there?" And I'm like, "I'm playing, man. I just can't make no damn shot." So I just close out. As Gortat, I walk in, shades on, headphones on. I don't say nothing to nobody. Yep, and I go quiet mode. And we come out. And me and Gortat come out there. We are balling.
We murder I'm talking them. About, we murder balling. Them.
And we should have. And then the other part is crazy. We should have won game 6. We was up 20 at half. And this when Paul George came out second half and make like 7 threes in the third quarter.
I mean, this was the series where, because if I'm not mistaken, the round one, we beat Chicago.
Yeah, five.
We swept
in
Chicago. Five. No, five. It was okay.
Remember, Kalene got suspended game three, got ejected game
three. Oh, that's right. For hitting with the...
with Jimmy Butler. Yeah, he, they was over there wrestling.
He smacked with the head Jimmy Butler, right?
Yeah.
And I remember Nene basically killed Boozer. I mean, he didn't
dominant.
Exist.
He was dominant.
Yeah, he was completely dominated. But then we went to Indy, and David West, D West, just went off.
Yeah, we stole game one, lost game two.
And the guy was just, I mean, he was playing like a freaking superstar.
He played like he was in New Orleans back then.
Yeah, and he was, no, he completely dominated the game. And I think Hibbert was, you know, famous 0-0-0-0-0, 30 minutes in the game, and he zeros.
It was like, he came back to DC and played. His coach came to the game, remember, because he went to Georgetown. So they all came into the game, and then game three was his best game of the series. Because they was like, man, he's not playing well. He's hurting us. And I remember, though, bro, they had one play that was whooping our ass. The angle pick and roll, pick and pop, and Dave West is shooting a free throw line jump shot, and they had Paul George in the other corner. I'm like, bro, you cannot help.
So, yeah, there was a game, but you know, I think it was the first time we play as a team in playoffs.
Yeah, that was our first time ever in the playoffs.
That was the first year. Yeah, it was the first year because I remember I sealed the contract with that famous performance in Indy. I sealed the contract
anyway throughout the year. We're gonna say that because the way we was running pick and roll, bro, was like, you can't let him go. Like, I need this big man to set screens for me. So, if you want me to be at my best, I need a good big that can screen and catch my passing. So,
and I didn't want to go anywhere else because I felt comfortable. I knew what John and Brad, who they will become, you know, in the next 2-3 years. So I knew exactly that this is the place I want to be. I felt good in Washington. I think the organization was good, and you know, and I was like, all right, this is it. Like, I don't want to move again somewhere else, you know, and.
Nah, good
get to know
there.
People, yeah. Get to know people, and I knew right away that there was the right fit for me. So that was the first playoffs, and I think we learned a lot. Next year we went into playoffs. I think completely as a better team.
Yeah.
But I think that was the year when John broke the hand. I think
next year. 15, I broke it the first play of the game. First quarter. I didn't know it. Remember, I kept playing. Oh. We win.
We talking about the hand.
I go
was
take
like,
a shower.
Like a mountain.
I go take a shower. I mean, and my shit, like the white muffin hand, it's just swollen. I'm like, I can't wash my back. And I'm walking around. They got me like with a glove on. Remember, I didn't even go to the doctor until like the day before the next game. I'm like, bro, what?
Now, dude, you still try to play the game.
Well, I missed.
Though,
yeah, I tried to play game
hand.
Two. I couldn't dribble. So I missed game two, three. I missed two, three, and four. Remember, I could have played game four, but they didn't numb my hand to fucking too late before the game. I was pissed about that. So we go back to Atlanta. Should have won game five. I blocked Schroeder's shot. This is when Nene trips and fall. Al Horford picks up the ball and scores the layup. After Paul Pierce just hit a three in the corner.
Right.
I was fucking hot.
Yeah, like I said, there was dude, we just need some luck, man. We just
all
need
playoffs
more
is some luck and some winning. But you know what? You know why I made that famous post I made with Dennis Schroeder in my post after we came back and beat them in 2017? Because when he made that shot, Al Horford made that shot, him and Tim Hardaway was laughing in my face and they was clapping. I was so hot. So when we got revenge on them and beat them in 2017, I was like, I got a post for y'all.
Yeah, that's right.
I just wanted to say, like, you guys showing each other love a lot is like, this is awesome to get old teammates back together. And also, we talk a lot about how the media can kind of, you know, just blow things up. And I wanted to bring up, just because I feel like you guys shown so much love as former teammates, there was some feuding towards the end. And I wanted to just ask you guys about the complexities of being teammates for as long as you guys were, you know, tweets, things said, but you guys squashed that pretty quickly. Can you give a little bit of context to that? And like, you guys are obviously in a great place and celebrating this stuff. So I just wanted to clear up anything.
So let me speak first, if I can, John.
Yeah, go
so I definitely remember the one case where John mentioned this, and I spoke to him privately, and I think I can say this. This is nothing crazy, but John had a surgery. I don't remember, was the ankle?
My knee. Yeah, I took a bone spur out.
So, yeah, I think you had a. There was a surgery. I don't remember what part. I think it was a knee. And he was out for like a couple good months. And I think that me as a leader back then, and obviously, you know, the number three option in the team right after John and Brett, I think I dropped the ball as a leader also. We didn't even go to the hospital. We didn't even visit John. We didn't, you know, not even mentioning driving to the hospital or going to his house. Fuck, we didn't even send a freaking message, man. John, how are you doing after surgery? And I think this is something that it was definitely on us, definitely on me. I'm not gonna point out here, you know, Kelly Uber of freaking Otto Porter, who's 20 years old. I'm talking about me, who's 30 plus years old, 10-year plus veteran in the league, and I should know better. That's one. Two, I think we kind of maybe not separated, but drift away from each other, from John, when I stopped going out, basically going out with the rest of the crew, because, you know, I was older, and I ain't gonna lie, I need more time to recover. You know, the only time when me and John, we were able to have, you know, the magic juice was only in the plane a couple times. But I think there was a time when I kind of stopped going, and not only with John, but also with Brad. That was the time when we didn't talk over situations in the game. You know, if we had any issues in the game or in a practice, usually you go and say whatever you want, John, but I knew exactly that I can talk to you only when you are relaxed, when you are in calm environment, when I can have a drink and you can have a drink, you can relax and sit down. Then I knew I can talk to you, and I knew I can get to your, like, very deep to your brain. I knew exactly that was the time when I was able to talk to you and explain you what I see or what should we do. And unfortunately, we missed those meetings. I maybe not failed, but like I kind of like couldn't do it anymore because I was older too.
No, for sure.
That was the thing. And oh man, rest of the stuff. What was said, what wasn't said, what was tweet. I would say most of the stuff was just created by the media. I mean,
which they always did for us. Like, you hit it right on the nose, bro. The biggest thing was, it was, man, like, I could have been better. We all could have been better. But I think it just happened, like you said, young guys, they kind of like ran with the thing everybody eats, and everybody ran with it. And I was like, damn. Then, like you said, I didn't get a message from guys, so that was like that. So then, like, you know, you in that mindset and mode, you're like, damn, I feel like I'm left out. You get into your emotion, you don't think. And like you said, I magic juice, we have a glass of wine, magic juice on the plane. That's when we talked and had a lot of great conversations. And I think, like, we kind of got away from that. And then we still played well, we still played great. But, like, when we needed to fix certain situations, we wasn't fixing. Like you said, I was older. You're like, shit, I need my rest. I don't care what y'all doing. I need another 2 hours of sleep. And even on the plane, like, we got to the point on the plane, like, we would play the music some loud. You know, okay, damn, we're not having a talk this day. We're not having that talk that day. But, like, the media, like, what we always said, we had so much shit that goes on in locker rooms, bro. And we always keep it to ourselves. We always never wanted it to get out. And that's what family, and that's what a brotherhood is for. So everybody keep trying to put the media of what me and Gortat had. We are great. We are brothers. I have number of love and respect for them. And everybody going to have some disagreements and agreements to fight. That's what brothers
always
are for.
Right.
That's what brothers are for.
Remember, John, when I left, when I left the team and I was traded, and, you know, the message you sent me, I mean, seriously, I had a fucking tears in my eyes, man. I mean, John sent me a, you know, it wasn't a good luck, you know.
Nah, that was a piss.
You know, this thing was like a freaking book, you know what I'm saying? And I mean, it was real talk, and I knew that, you know, the stuff he sent it to me was real. And, you know, I appreciate it. I will always remember that, you know, what we've done with John. And, you know, even today, Gortat screen, I mean, this thing would not exist if I won't have John or Brad, you know? I mean, bottom line, I mean, John and Brad is, you know, 50% of my success. The rest 50% is here, you know, in this muscle right here.
But
right, in the hammer. But, you know, that's they are 50% of my success. They knew exactly what I'm doing. They knew how to use it. They had the right body. They had the right speed. They had the right, you know, knowledge. And, you know, and fuck, we had fun, man. We had fun. But again, listen, at the end of the year, I mean, the fifth year, I will, again, John, I'm going to put blame. I mean, fuck it. I'm going to say it now. But coach didn't help at this time, too, you know. If we had Randy, Randy will call us right away to the freaking room and we will sit down and talk to John. Will yell at me. I will yell at John and we will squeeze the, and then Whit will yell at us both.
Yeah, for sure.
Both of us. And we will squeeze this thing. I don't think, unfortunately, the coaching staff helped us at that point, you know, and I always heard only, yeah, I'm working on it. I'm working. I'm talking to him. I'm working. I'm like, dude, ain't working. Shit ain't working, man. Like, I'm going to talk to him. No, you don't talk. You're going to make things work. So I'm like, listen, I know John for 5 years. I'm going to talk to him. So, yeah, there was time when I was trying to talk to John. But again, coaches, I don't think coaches help us back then. I think they should be more supportive at that point.
Yeah. And I feel like we had a great relationship. Like I said, we're going to agree to disagree sometimes when we talk, but
of course,
when I step between those four lines, I'm going to war with whoever my brothers are, whoever my teammates are. So if I got a problem with you and I might be mad at you right now, when I get God on and put his jersey on, that problem is not the problem. This is how we both feeding our family. This is what we plan for the city, this organization we play for. Like I said, like we had so many great moments. I feel like we just missed the curve sometimes. Like maybe been having a little bit more depth on the bench sometimes. You know what I mean? Like not having injuries. But everybody know the impact that we had. Like, shit, we won 17 in a row at home. They feel like we was winning.
But more, I think we had 20, 17. John,
no, but so Brian fucking made the bank shot. Remember? He was supposed to foul. All right. He made the fucking bank shot.
Oh, you're right about that. You're right. Yeah.
He says he practiced that.
He made the bank shot.
Man, I don't give a damn. That shit was look. I was hot. Because we were supposed to foul. I made two free throws. Remember the play before that he traveled? They didn't call travel.
You're right about that.
I made two free throws. We were supposed to foul him when he caught the ball, but we didn't foul. Kevin Love threw a hell of a pass.
Yeah, that was crazy.
So, yeah, but again, you remember there was we had every year we had 12 appearances that we had to do, 12 appearances that we had to do as NBA players in the community. And one of the funnest and the coolest thing we had to do, we had to go to those Special Olympic Games.
Oh, yeah, when we was coaching the referee.
And we were coaching and reffing the game. And, you know, 1 year John was a referee. And then second year I was the referee. Or, you know, we were coaches.
I was getting texts out and all that.
Then John gave me, tack. I mean, the first quarter, pop. You know, Gortat, shut up.
He crossed the line. You know, he got the little line. The coach not supposed to cross. He crossed the line. I gave him a tech.
Yeah.
Scott Foster.
So, yeah. So, again, it was fun, man. It was fun. And just the crew we had, it was unbelievable. And, you know, the plane rides and
man, the those Bure plane games. Rides was fun. But like the you said, Bure though, game. I think you said, though, like just because like when we did those 12 things for the community, damn near the whole team was showing up. Like, you know, I mean, it was only supposed to be a certain amount of guys for certain ones. But we had so much camaraderie and enjoyed being around each other and just talking, joking, having a glass of wine, playing cards, whatever. We just enjoyed that going to team dinner. So we all did everything we all wanted to do it, so it was the perfect timing for that.
Yeah, unfortunately, everything ends. You know, we had a good run, but well, you know, I tell we're you something I want to tell you.
I hope my story don't end like yours because I got traded around February 2 from the Clippers back to Houston. So I'm like, hopefully, I can get back in and play a little bit more. But if not, I'd be fine. But our story kind of ended the same way. Like, it just ended in February with the Clippers.
and I know that you love LA. I love LA. We all wanted to live in LA, and it was like playing in the Clippers or LA or Lakers will be cool at the end of the career. And guess what? It did happen, but shit, we didn't want to end up, you know, in the middle of the year
I had a great time when I was there, man. You know what I mean? Great organization, great coach, and T. Lou and those guys. It just ended in February, which was tough. But it was like they made changes because they needed some more depth in different situations. So it was cool. But I hope it don't.
Yeah, I mean, I was excited when you signed with the Clippers. I was like, wow, that's gonna be actually a good fit. You know, I was hoping that I was actually hoping that you're going to come off the bench and you're going to be like producing as a sixth man, you know, because you're going to have more, you're going to have the ball in your hands mm-hmm. more, you know? And I was thinking like, all right, he's going to do that. You know, he's going to, that's basically going to buy him another, you know, year or two in the league. Mm-hmm. But then.
Yeah, it was tough because we played small ball. So it was kind of like, you know what I mean? Like I was explaining, like my role is, I can go be a scorer, but I like to run pick and roll and get everybody involved. And
right.
We didn't have us. You know, I mean, we had Nicholas Batum playing our center at the time, so it was kind of tough. He's like, all five out, five in. So it was cool, though.
So what you doing now? You playing ball for fun or?
I work out every day. Take care of my two boys and my stepdaughter. My oldest son plays soccer and you know, boxing. So he wanted to be like Messi. We got training today at 6 o'clock in the backyard. He got a game every Saturday.
Nice.
That's what I be doing, man. Taking them to school, raising the boys, staying out the way, doing the podcast. Just find other, like you said, just find the other stuff that I love. Because that's the toughest part is we so used to being on a routine schedule, 8 months, 9 months. You're on a team. You're always traveling.
Right.
Now I'm just sitting here like, damn.
You still got these dogs. The dogs.
Yeah,
you had,
I got
the
them in
dogs.
The backyard right now. I just got them in the cut because I don't want to.
How many you got now?
I got 2 cane corsos.
Look at these counting. Jesus Christ!
Nah, I used to have like 6. No. So look, CJ, I used to have this kennel in my backyard, like with 6 pit bulls. I had a kennel in my backyard. They never want to come to my house, though. Nobody want to come to my house. They're like, no, we're not
I
coming
over. I saw that one,
there,
the recent one you got, and I was like, if I come over, you gotta tell him to not.
Yeah,
like-
I love dogs, man. Gortat, remember,
no,
I love dogs.
Not,
that's I love sneakers.
You're not coming.
I love sneakers, and I love dogs.
You're not coming into his house just like that.
Yeah.
I mean, this is you really got to bring an army of people to come into his house.
Yeah, man.
You know what I mean? He had a lot of dogs.
Him. But now I don't got as many as I used to, though. I cut it down a little bit to 4. I used to have 8, but I got it to 4 now.
Yeah.
So I thought you're going to do some Hollywood stuff.
Like what?
Movie stuff. You don't want to do it?
If they come my way for some acting, I'll get into that role. You know what I mean? They got a check for me. I ain't doing it for free.
They got a check. You
yeah,
gonna do
I need a check.
Okay.
Nah, I ain't just sitting there. I ain't going to do no acting for nothing.
Okay, so the last question. You should be a coach. You know that, right?
So you know
with
what, you
your
know
knowledge
what I want to do? You know what I want
to
do?
With your love to basketball, and I know you're watching freaking 6 games in a row. Like,
oh, you know
you can,
me.
I could not do this thing because I would be mad. Like, oh, my God, there was a guy in the corner. Why he didn't pass the ball? Why he shot a fadeaway? I'm like, man, fuck it. I'm turning this off. I can't watch this. You know, so... Yeah, but I know John is watching every game.
Man, I'm splitting my screen to 4 games. Splitting my screen to 4 games. You know, right now is the playoffs, so I only can watch one at a time. I think tonight you might be able to watch 2 because one of them on NBA TV. But, yeah, like down the future, though, bro, I want to be like a GM.
Yeah.
I want to be a GM.
So GM more than a coach?
Yeah, cause like you said, bro, like me, like you know like me, bro, I'm just so competitive in everything I do, and I just like – like, even when I was injured, I'd be like, but what the fuck is he doing? Like, I wouldn't do that. Or, I, you know, like, you watching somebody, like, I'd do this, I wouldn't do that. And I think for me, these young guys now, it's like, you got to force them to work out sometimes, unless you just get one of those special ones that love to be in the gym and love to do it. And I'm like, for you to be on the NBA level and getting paid, like, it's nobody should ever be forcing you to come work out.
So the same thing when I went to Washington, they, you know, I spoke with my agent and he said, March, you're starting from the bottom again, you know? I'm like, what do you mean from the bottom? Like, oh, well, you're not going to get, you know, whatever the amount you want. You know, you're getting, you know, 100,000, you know, 150, 200. I was like, what? Like, what? I'm like, I can't do that.
Yeah,
you know?
He told me it's over there. He said, bro, I only can go like once a month, twice a month. I can't do this every day.
No, I can't do this every because I come into the gym. I'm getting a nice lift. You know, I'm 7:30 in the gym, eat breakfast, 8 o'clock. I'm pumping iron in the weight room. You know, my big is coming in 9:30, 10 o'clock. I was like, dude, what
time is practice? 10:30, 11.
Yeah, like the practice 10:30. I'm like, where you
workout.
At?
You gotta
like,
get a lift
on,
and a workout
like,
in already.
Yeah, you gotta give me a good lift, and then let's go do some moves. You know, under the basket, let's get some shots. Maybe get quick 1-on-1. You know, it's like 1-on-1. I was like, why are you making those faces? Like, oh, I ain't gonna play 1-on-1. Like, we have a game in 2 days. I'm like. So I'm like, I was playing at the shoot around before the game that same day, 1-on-1. And I was going the same day later on and I was performing. Like, what kind of faces you make?
We was performing after 3-hour practices. 2 hour practices. Yeah. Like now it practice might be 30 to 45 minutes, maybe an hour on a good day. So yeah, we're just playing 2 hour, 3 hour it's practices insane. And then go play 40 minutes in a game.
I agree. That's insane. That's why, you know, I've seen it, and I told the guy, I said, hey, you have passport? He said, why? I said, you're going to need in China, man. I said, I swear to God, you're going to need in China next year. I was like, you crazy. Man, dude is in China right now as we speak.
Well, like I said before, like some people take it for granted because, like you said, you spoke on it earlier, a lot of teams don't have a lot of vets. And it's like even if the vets playing or they're not playing, like they can still just teach these young guys how to be pros, how to do certain things because they come in now and it's all handed to them. Like I remember even my rookie year being in one pick, I didn't have it handed to me. I had to earn everything I had. And that's what I respected about it because you don't want to come in and feel like you're bigger and better than everybody. Because, I mean, it's already a target on your back.
John, this was the biggest thing, you know, controlling you two, like you and Brett. I mean, we knew exactly there's going to be a point in time that where you guys are going to take over like completely. But, you know, as soon as I came to the team, it was me, Nene, Martell Webster, Trevor Ariza, Al Harrington.
Andre Miller was there 1 year.
Andre Miller, Drew Gooden. Dude, we had like
everybody
seven
was
or
except
eight.
For us. Me and Brett, like the youngest guys.
And we knew exactly that, you know, if I say something, then it's going to support me. If Drew's going to say something, Al's going to support him. Trevor's going to support him. So we were able to control John and Brett in a good way. I'm saying in a good way, you know. But then obviously the vets start leaving, you know, Al retired. Martell went to a different team. And then all of a sudden, you know, you only have two vets left in the team, and John and Brad became, you know, the superstar, super all-star in this league. And I was like, all right, these guys are they on their own now. Like, fuck it. We can't do anything now, man.
But like
no, it's over.
You said it right, though. Like, it's we had over. The right guidance early on. You know what I mean? We had great vets. We had, fuck, you just named 7-8 guys that have established themselves in this league that if you didn't respect them, you just wasn't going to respect anybody. And I feel like we never could have made that jump to become who we was as players and to be a better team that could compete every night against somebody.
And you know what? The good thing is that we also changed the culture of the team because, you know, I mean, as far as I know, when I was coming to the team, the only thing I heard was Gilbert and the famous gun in the locker room. You know, Andre Blatchin and JaVale McGee doing some crazy stuff. And all of a sudden we changed the whole team and we build a different culture in the team. We start become, you know, we became a winning team, a playoff team, you know, a decent contender, you know, to a winning a championship. And we completely changed the culture of the team. So, I mean, hell, we succeeded. We definitely didn't
for
fail.
Sure.
You know, we succeeded.
For sure that.
I just want to say to close this out, like we've been posting clips of you and Marchin and John and you guys, and people are saying underneath, they're like one of the most underappreciated duos in the last 10 years. So I love that you guys are getting love. We saw it on LeBron and JJ's podcast. Like the guard center combo is kind of, we see it with Jamal and Jokic, right? Like, and that's what's winning the championship. I just want to show you guys love because people are saying on our social posts, like, most underappreciated duo. So, Martian, thank you so much for joining the show. Appreciate
you guys.
Having you on Point Game. So,
thank you guys. Thanks for
Take
having
care,
me.
Take care, man.
Sir, brother.
Welcome back to Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano, presented by DraftKings. We are now going to play our classic segment, Bucket or Brick. John, you ready?
You know it.
All right, just before we go on, I'm going to remind you that Bucket or Brick is brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. DraftKings Sportsbook is your home for all things NBA action, from player props to same-game parlays. Check out everything DraftKings Sportsbook has to offer to make your NBA experience even sweeter. The crown is yours. Okay, let's get into this. So, first one for Bucket or Brick, the Magic are plus 145 to win this series. They're 2-2 right now, so meaning they're only slight underdogs. So, if you bet 100, you could win $145. So, Bucket or Brick, the Magic are going to win this series against the Cavs.
Oh, man. I say Bucket. I think they found their rhythm. I mean, the biggest key is trying to steal one on the road, you know what I mean? But I think those young guys found a little rhythm, and they're competing at a high level. So, you know what I mean? I love their coach, Coach Mosley. So I think he's been doing a great job, and I always had respect for him since he was in Dallas. So it's great to see how he changed that around over there and got those young guys playing in Paolo's playing at a hell of a level for his second year and first year in the playoffs.
Do you think that, you know, with the talk of Donovan Mitchell, I think that the quote or something that came out said that if they don't make it to the finals, Donovan wants out. Do you think that's affecting their performance a little bit in the series?
I really don't like to speak on stuff like that because you never really know what nobody's going through.
Right.
But I feel like he's already was trying to leave anyway.
Yeah.
Unless they win the championship, I don't think he's staying. I think that's what the noise has been about all year and trying to figure out if they wanted to trade him before the deadline or not. So he don't just walk and you lose him for nothing. So I think it's been tough, but it's been an up and down year for them completely. You know, I mean, they've been a hot team early on. Then Darius Garland got hurt. Then Don was playing well. Then Don got hurt and DG got to playing well. So I think it's just kind of tough because they're both ball dominant, but both great. And, you know, I mean, Donovan's been doing a lot, a little bit longer than DG has, but I think it's just a tough balance between those two.
For sure. Okay. Going on. The Lakers are down 3-1. People are always already talking about what they should be doing in the offseason. So, bucket or brick, the Lakers should move on from Darvin Ham.
I say bucket. You know what I mean? I never want to see a coach get fired or anything like that, but I just think if they get – they almost got swept again. They did a great job of competing and fighting back the other night. And I think tonight Denver closed it out, you know what I mean, being back home. Those guys missed a lot of shots last game. You know what I mean? But it's the nature of the game, making shots and missing shots. D'Angelo came back and played well. But I just feel like they moved back from Darby. You know what I mean? Kind of just look at the energy that's given around. You watch some of the highlights that's been out or clips that's been out of guys getting up and walking away from the timeout or some guys not even been in the timeout huddle. I kind of think that's when you kind of know you're lost in the locker room.
Yeah, going back to game four, I don't know if you saw, but the Nuggets didn't have their shoes for shoot around.
Yeah, I think they kind of messed them up. Yeah, really? I think that, you know, I mean, be honest, you got to think, bro. They're out there working on their game, they're trying to get their shots up, but you can't really be full speed or game speed because you're in flip flops. Like, you know what I mean? You don't want to sprain your ankle or have a serious injury, so you're just basically methodical. But anyway, the Lakers came out and played well. They competed at a high level. Those guys competed and fought, and the role player stepped up big.
Okay. All right, going back over to the East, the Knicks will make the Eastern Conference Finals, bucket or brick.
Who they play next?
They'll play the Pacers if the Pacers end up closing out against the Bucks. So classic series, Knicks-Pacers.
To me, I got to go Pacers. I think the Pacers will. So I'll say brick.
Interesting.
I love the Knicks. They're playing at a high level. I love the Knicks, but I think Siakam's going to be a tough matchup problem for him in the next round. But, I mean, you never know with Jalen Brunson, the way he's playing. He's playing at a hell of a level.
I mean, same with Tyrese. We were talking about Tyrese versus Jalen in the first half. I feel like Tyrese is not playing, you know, to his, you know, best.
So. Yeah, I don't think he's playing the way he usually has. I mean, I think last game probably been his best game of the series, in my opinion, from watching. Yeah. But Siakam and Turner has been stepping up for them big time.
Yeah.
And, you know what I mean? It just sucks for the Bucks because, you know what I mean, not having Giannis to start the series and Dame getting hurt. And then I don't know how the hell Chris Middleton finished the game yesterday. He sprained his other ankle. And then I think Pat Bev hurt his hip. So, you know what I mean, he's in a tough spot right now.
For sure. Okay, final one. This news broke this morning. Your beloved Cowboys are re-signing Ezekiel Elliott. So, bucket or brick, Zeke Elliott is going to have a positive impact on the Cowboys this year.
Say bucket. I think he helps us. I mean, I wish we would have signed him last year and kept him as our backup back or, you know what I mean, or change of pace back for Tony Pollard. I didn't think Tony Pollard is great. I love him, but I don't think he's an every down back. I think he's a great change of pace back, catch the ball at the backfield. I'm still devastated we ain't trying to get Derrick Henry. You know what I mean, I feel like he wanted to be there. But it's a tough year. I mean, I think what we said we was going all in. I don't think we really went all in.
Yeah.
But I hope they have a good year, though.
Okay. All right, John, that's been another episode of Point Game. Anything you want to leave the fans with? Playoff
let's
action.
Let's watch some great basketball tonight. Hopefully some of these games are getting more competitive. I mean, some have been blowouts, but I want to see some great games. I feel like the Phoenix series was the best series in the first round, and then you have the Clippers and Mavs. So that's been a good one. So let's get the show on the road.
Let's do it. All right, this has been Point Game with CJ Toledano and John Wall. Everyone, please remember to like, rate, subscribe, share this stuff. Drop us some questions in the podcast reviews. We'll answer them in an upcoming episode. This has been Point Game presented by DraftKings. Peace. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.com/promos for eligibility and responsible gaming resources. Odds and lines subject to change.